You are about to experience the Jerry Banfield Show. We hope it'll help you live, learn, and love your best today. Thank you very much for your willingness to listen to the ads at the beginning of each show, because you can feel great knowing you're helping me earn a few cents every ad you listen to. When we add all the cents up, that gives me enough to record this podcast for you almost every day. Do you have a friend or a family member or a partner who's an alcoholic? Are you wondering how to support an alcoholic and at the same time remain some of your own sanity? I'm Jerry Banfield. I'm an alcoholic, and the intention on this video is to help give you some tips if you're struggling with an alcoholic in your life. I'm grateful. I've been on all ends of this. I've been the alcoholic for 11 years drinking and then 5 years sober now in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I've been on the end of supporting alcoholics, drug addicts, and other addictive behavior family members and friends as they go through their addiction. And I've learned a lot that I intend to share with you in as quick of a format as possible. I trust, as a full-time YouTuber, if you want to get more videos with me, you'll join us, help us reach 500,000 subscribers by hitting that subscribe button and turning those notifications on. That's the biggest thing you can do to help me and see more videos. I've got a playlist linked in the description that is all about Alcoholics Anonymous if you're interested in watching more of these videos from me. Now, number one thing for supporting an alcoholic, it's okay to lay down your own boundaries. When you've got an alcoholic in your life, setting boundaries can often be difficult. For example, you tell them no drinking in the house, then they're drinking in the house. You tell them no drinking and driving, and then they're drinking and driving. What do you do about a thing like that? For me, I see that clear communication is kind, and setting firm boundaries when they're necessary can be really helpful. My wife was extremely tolerant and might have even went over into the enabling for my drinking because she put up with me and my alcoholic drinking for years of living together before she finally laid it down and said, look, I can't stay in this house with you anymore when you're drinking. And thank God she laid that message down. And then after that, I saw that she was ready to leave over my drinking and that it was either her or alcohol, but I couldn't keep having both. And I realized it didn't matter. If I wanted to choose her, I'd change my mind one day and drink again anyway. That apart from divine intervention, I was screwed. I prayed to God. I said, God, please, I'll do anything to stay sober, because I saw I couldn't stay sober. I knew I'd changed my mind. Even I'd already swore to my wife 2 years earlier in our relationship before this that I'd never drink again. And then 3 months later of staying sober, my life getting crazy in my head, I'm figuring, well, if I was an alcoholic, I couldn't have stayed sober 3 months. Therefore, I can drink again. And I just won't drink around my wife anymore. But soon enough, I was drinking around her again. And it was as when we moved in, my drinking, I tried to control it. It was bad. It caused problems in our relationships. Huge screaming arguments at 3 a.m. I swore I'd stay sober and never drink again. Changed my mind about 3 months into it, 4 months into it, after we had a big argument sober. I said, well, clearly alcohol is not the problem here, because we can have a big argument sober. I just won't drink around you and then we'll be fine. And soon enough, I rationalized, because I started going out of town to drink with my friends. Then I'm like, well, it doesn't make sense to drive all this way to drink with my friends. What if I get in a car accident? I might as well just start drinking at home again. And before we knew it, I was drinking at home consistently, and we were back to worse than where we started when we moved in together. And that's when Laura laid down the boundary and she said, I can't stay here in this house with you when you're drinking anymore. And I realized that if I drank even one more time, that might be the end of our marriage. And thank God she did finally set down that firm boundary, because if she'd have just kept letting me behave the way I behaved and not set down that boundary, I might have kept going and our relationship might have continued to get worse, and it might have become so bad that we couldn't have even recovered it by just setting a boundary. Thus, one of the most helpful things you can do to support an alcoholic is lay down clear boundaries for yourself. Because if you're a mess, and if you are all crazy about their drinking, you are unlikely to be able to help them. I had a family member who was very sick and struggles with lots of addictions, who got suicidal, and guess what happened? I was trying to control and help them so much that, did they get better? No. I got suicidal too. I'm like, no, you're gonna kill yourself? I'll show you. I'm gonna kill myself. And then you'll really regret being this way, and then you'll shape up. And fortunately, that insanity only lasted a few hours in my head, and I didn't do anything except try and lay in bed and hold my breath, and that didn't work very well, as you can tell. And I then laid down a firm boundary after that. I said, look, if you want to talk to me, you need to be nice to me. Calling me names is unacceptable. I will not talk to you. If you call me names, if you say things like I'm selfish and mean and nasty, I will not talk to you. And I did not talk to this family member for a month after that. I said, look, I love you. I'm okay with whatever you want to do. If you want to die, that's fine. I don't need you here anymore. I will not talk to you in this state of nastiness and craziness and insanity. You can be however you want to, but do not call me again. Don't text me again until you can talk to me nicely. And the family member sent a big, long, nasty text after that. I ignored it. And I felt very peaceful with what I did. I laid down the concrete boundary. The family member continued to go downhill. And fortunately, another member of the family, or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, came to rescue them. And then after a month, the family member said, look, I'm sorry for how I was before. Do you want to talk again? And I said, are you ready to resume our relationship peacefully? Yes. So now we are back to talking again. It's very important. And number one thing you can do to support an alcoholic is to lay down clear boundaries. Because as they say in Bad Boys 2, not alcoholics, but habitual line steppers. Alcoholics consistently like to step over lines, cause problems. And if you're not able to lay down some clear boundaries, you're just pretty much helpless. And if you feel helpless and powerless with an alcoholic in your life, the next suggestion I'll offer is to go to Al-Anon. I went to a couple of Al-Anon meetings myself. Al-Anon is for friends and family members of alcoholics. I found that the meetings are very much like Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, except instead of a drinking problem, you have a person in your life that has a drinking problem. I read the entire Al-Anon book. I found it really helpful. At the time, I had been sober a couple, 1 or 2 years. I was starting to get frustrated with my wife and finding all kinds of faults with her, and I was struggling with other family members. And I read the Al-Anon book, and that helped me to lay down the boundaries with the family member who was I was having all the problems with. And it also helped me to see that I'm real lucky to have a wife after all that we went through together. And that I didn't need to go pushing alcoholics in my life into sobriety. That I needed to lead by example to say, this is what a happy, healthy, sober life looks like. And if you've got questions or want some insights on that, come ask me and I'll be happy to share with you how that works. What often does not help with an alcoholic is trying to force them into getting sober and control their lives, because alcoholics already feel, as I did, controlled by alcohol and often are very rebellious. You suggest, my father told me that I abused alcohol for years. And did that get me to go to a meeting? No. Did that get me to change? No, it didn't. But my father did lay down some firm boundaries for me living at home. I moved home after losing a job related to my alcoholism. And my father said, look, when you're living in this house, there's no drinking in this house. You come home drunk, you drink in this house, you're out of here. And I actually found a little loophole. They went out of town and I drank while they were gone. And I guess they thought I would drink, so they were prepared for it. And they came home and said, look, my parents hardly ever left the house. In fact, I missed a family member's graduation so I could drink at home in the house because I was mostly sober during that time. And my parents said, look, we didn't make this very clear to you before. We're going to make it really clear to you now. You drink at all in this house again. You come home in any state of intoxication. You go out and drink and leave us wondering what happened to you. You are out of here. And I knew they were serious. And I respected that. And they would have kicked me out on the street if I had came home and drank again. Or if I had come home drunk. They would have kicked me out. And that was really helpful for me because treatment centers for alcoholics are basically very boundary confined environments. Thus, if you want to support an alcoholic, it takes discovering where your own boundaries are. Now, this can be difficult because the part of us that wants to control often resists setting down hard boundaries. And it sees that if we set down boundaries, what we really need to do is work on our own self-control. What if the alcoholic violates those? What if, let's say you have an alcoholic child and you say that you, if they drive the car after drinking, that is a boundary, that they can't do that. And if they do that, they can't drive the car anymore. What do you do if you have an alcoholic child that then drives the car? There's all kinds of stuff you can do. And the thing is, how uncomfortable are you willing to get to enforce your own boundaries? You could sell all your cars. If you've got an alcoholic child who will not respect your boundary that you can't drive after drinking, you could sell all your cars or at least park the car somewhere where they don't know where it is and they can't have access to it. If you have, for example, you have an alcoholic child that's, you tell them, look, there's no drinking in this house. There's no coming home. But if they're underage, it may be difficult. You might not know, well, what to do with them. What if I send them somewhere else? You've got to know what you can handle with it. I realize that having an alcoholic child living in my house today, if I'm putting my own sobriety at risk, if I'm losing my mind over someone else's behavior, for me as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, that's something I need to work on. And if I've worked on it and I can see where a clear boundary is, then it's up to me to set the boundary and enforce it. To say, look, it's not okay to come home to this house drunk. And it's not okay to, etc. And the thing with boundaries is also to not set a whole bunch of arbitrary ones. To set only the boundaries that really matter and that you're essentially willing to do anything to enforce those. If you say no drinking in the house and someone living with you drinks anyway and you say, look, you're going to get out now or I'm going to call the police and have them arrest you or whatever, you might need to figure out a way that you can peacefully enforce boundaries if they're broken. For example, with Laura, when she said no more drinking, she made it clear she was going to go live with her parents if I continued drinking. And in some cases, that's the key to setting a healthy boundary is to having a support system. For me to set a boundary with my family member where I got to the point and said, look, don't call me, don't text me. I will not talk to you until you are nice to me. I needed a lot of support. I needed to hear other people's experiences in the same situation. It took me a lot of courage and I was scared to set a boundary with this family member and to risk never talking to them again, risk them killing themselves and me thinking, you know, the last thing I said to him was, don't call me or I'm fine if you die. Like, you need to get help. I will not talk to you until you're in a better place again because you're abusing me because all you're saying is nasty things to me. The key to this is support, and I hope I've given you some support in this video because I understand with my own alcoholic, drug addict, addicted family members and friends, I understand it can be hard to set down a boundary on things. I have told members of my family that they are not allowed to stay at my house because of their addictions and they're not allowed to be around my children without supervision because of their addictions, which there's certainly opportunity for them to get upset because other family members in a similar position on my wife's side of the family are not subject to those boundaries. And yet I'm not letting someone addicted to drugs and or alcohol to stay around and be in my house and be around my kids without my supervision. And I don't feel bad about that. I feel really good about that. And I'm willing to do whatever is necessary to enforce those boundaries. And I don't care what else happens. If I don't care. These are the boundaries. When you love someone, sometimes the best thing you can do to someone is let them go and say no thank you. If you've ran your life into a point where you can't live anywhere else and you think my house is the only place to stay, then you need to get sober if you want to stay with me. And if you relapse, if you get into that stuff again, you're out. And I don't care why. I don't care what happened. I don't care about any excuses. You will deliver the results or you will find somewhere else to be with, to exist, or you will die. And that is fine. You got to know your own limitations with these things. To support an alcoholic requires a lot of inner understanding of yourself to say, these are my boundaries. And if I let someone else go through these boundaries, I'm hurting all of us. That it's not loving and kind to let someone drink themselves to death at your home. It's not loving and kind to just disregard any of your own needs and put someone else before you and then have this huge resentment over it and get cancer and die early yourself because you didn't set some boundaries. And I'm grateful I've learned so much in this and I have the courage to talk about this with you today. And I encourage, again, Al-Anon, if you're struggling with an alcoholic in your life, a hypnotherapist can be really helpful also if you're struggling with an alcoholic in your life. And talking to other people about your situation. Find that's the last tip I'll offer is speaking out, communicating directly about these things can be really helpful. A lot of us, when we've got an alcoholic or a drug addict family member or friend, we hesitate to tell anyone because we don't want to embarrass them and we don't want to get anyone in trouble. And what I've found is, yes, now I don't tell you exactly which family member or which friend, but I do talk about it in general. And when I go to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, I share very specifically about things. I bring up the exact family member, the exact addiction, the exact situation. And for me, in order to get the best help, I need to be as specific as possible because then I get the best help. And from my way of thinking, if you are doing a bunch of shameful things that you're not proud of, that involve me and are a part of my life, then be prepared for me to ask other people for help and to describe the exact things you're doing to perhaps a room full of what to you might be strangers at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting so that I can provide the best help back to you, so that I can be the most loving and supportive person in your life today. I appreciate you making it all the way to the end of this. You are one of the top 1% who's got all the way to this point through all my repetition and rambling. I trust that you will love being a subscriber on my channel, given you're this far in. Please join us, hit that subscriber button, help us reach 500,000 subscribers. Turn the notifications on if you want to make sure not to miss any new videos. And if you prefer to watch on Facebook, hit that follow button. Hit see first if you and the notifications if you really want to make sure you don't miss a video. I do 3 new videos a day. And if you want videos more on Alcoholics Anonymous and alcoholism, check out my Alcoholics Anonymous for Beginners playlist on YouTube. I love you. You're awesome. I appreciate the chance to serve you today and share my experience. And I hope it was helpful for you.